football.
Oh, there it is.
It is the people's game. America's unquestioned number one sport.
The Professor, John Clayton.
With the additions on this line, it's better than it was last year. Maybe it's not great, but you can see that there's some positive things going there.
The only man to have a PhD on the NFL.
It's a contract year, and he's having his best year in a contract year. Here's the bad part. Any back that's had 400 carries never really comes back the same.
It's time for a football education.
Your quarterback is going to be solid every year. You know, that's what you need, and that's why you have to pay it.
Class is now in session.
Oh man, the old Carmen and Yurko intro for John Clayton. Chris Bleck and Pat Boyle sing in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We go to the Corona hotline and we talk with the Professor John Clayton. You can hear him on 710 ESPN in Seattle, and also you can read his work on the Washington Post. He's at John Clayton NFL. Professor, good morning. How are you?
It's good to be back. I mean, yes. I've missed everybody.
We've missed you, too. And we're talking football today because Patrick Mahomes signs this humongous contract with the Chiefs. He'll be there for the next 10 years. Can you put into perspective what we've seen Patrick Mahomes do through his first two seasons as a starter in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, very much like we saw with Dan Marino. And we've seen it maybe once a decade with a quarterback. And we certainly saw that, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady move quickly to the top. But to move this quickly, to really only have 2 years of starting, and now to be considered the best quarterback in the game, and now being paid as the best quarterback in the game, it's an amazing rise. And and I know it's got to be driving Matt Nagy crazy, because think about this. He was the guy who got Kansas City on to Mahomes. And the story was is that you know, he would watch all the Texas Tech games, and he would make all the coaches on the Chiefs staff go ahead and watch all those games too. And there was like a man crush that he had on Mahomes, and eventually he got it to the front office and also to Andy Reid, and then they end up trading up for Mahomes, and look how that's worked.
No question. So, I mean, Nagy probably feels like he's been punched in the gut. Here in Chicago, we've got post-traumatic Trubisky stress disorder. Bears fans, you know, they hear the Mahomes extension, and it's they think, what could have been? Do you think Bears fans would feel any differently had Ryan Pace selected Deshaun Watson?
Well, Deshaun Watson's had a meteoric rise, too, and at some point's going to get close to $40 million a year. I mean, that's the amazing thing, and particularly in the AFC, we have so many young quarterbacks. I mean, you know, if Cam Newton doesn't get the job, you have 10 to 12 quarterbacks in the AFC that are 3 years or less experience. Well, now what you're watching is that three have jumped right toward the top. Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. Watson somewhere in the top six. And Lamar Jackson now ready to be somewhere in the top five. I mean, it's amazing to think the meteoric rise at a time right now where there's so much transition at the quarterback position.
John Clayton from 710 ESPN in Seattle, and also the Washington Post, talking with us. Chris Bleck and Pat Boyle talking some football with you here on ESPN 1000. John, when you look, you mentioned the Patriots and Cam Newton. In the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills made the playoffs last year, so did the Patriots. How do you see that division kind of shaking out? We were just talking about Josh Allen and how it's time for him to take the next step. How do you kind of see the AFC East playing out?
Right now, I think it's an even race if Cam Newton wins the job between the Buffalo Bills and the Patriots. But maybe the Patriots have the edge if they get the good version of Cam Newton, because what you can see, and this being such a different year, it's going to be hard to get offenses together, particularly for early starts. But if you go back to pre-Tom Brady, and that's what they would do with Cam Newton, they'd be more of a running team out of two-back formation, two-tight-end formation, have the running of Cam Newton. And I know that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels has wanted a mobile quarterback if there was time that they were not going to have Tom Brady at quarterback. And so now this gives them that. So that can be encouraging. Then what you look at is that you there?
Yeah, we're here. Okay, John. Go ahead.
I got a call from somebody coming in, but you look at Buffalo, and they're pretty loaded right now. I mean, you know, you look with the addition of Stephon Diggs to go with John Brown and also Cole Beasley. You know, that's now a top five wide receiver group. And you're right about Josh Allen. I mean, Josh is able to get fourth quarter comebacks, but he doesn't score many points. So 17.5 points a game as a starter. If he can get things going and get the offense into the 22-23-point range, then they can be an 11-win team. But right now, I think it's an even race between the Patriots and the Bills.
What did the Mahomes deal yesterday do for Lamar Jackson's upcoming negotiations and Dak Prescott, who is currently on the franchise tag?
Yeah, I don't think it affects Prescott whatsoever, mainly because, you know, he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes, and he's not as good as Watson. And right now, we'll see if Jackson continues the way he's going. He's not as good as Lamar Jackson. So I think that puts him in a different category, because I think, you know, they have to get a deal done if you're going to try to keep the Cowboy team together, because, you know, you want quarterbacks to be about 15% of your cap. And of course, at this stage, if they have to put the franchise tag on him next year, that's 37.7, and the exclusive tag would be 39. Now you're talking 16 to 18% of the cap, and they'd have to start letting some guys go. You don't want to do that. So I think that the pressure's on Jerry Jones to get a deal done. The smartest thing that Dak did, probably his best completion, was signing that one-year tender, because now to keep him on the roster is 37.7 next year, and it might be more.
John Clayton talking football with Chris Bleck and Pat Boyle in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Last week, the NFL pared down the preseason from four games to two. John, will we get preseason games before this season actually starts?
I honestly don't think so. I mean, I think that you saw the players came out with the executive committee had a unanimous vote to have no preseason games. And I think because what they did is that they had a joint committee between the owners and the players. And the committee, you know, pretty much said, okay, do this, don't do this, don't do this. And not doing the preseason games was considered to be wise, mainly because what can end up happening is that you can end up getting, you know, more virus spread, and, you know, you get injuries. And the big thing is, you go back to 2011 when there was no off-season program, you know, you're going to see a big spike this year, like you saw last time in 2011 with Achilles tendency tears. I mean, in the first 12 days of training camp in 2011, there were 10 Achilles tears. You had more ACL tears and more hamstring injuries. And so you worry about that. And so, you know, putting these two games that are not meaningful other than to see guys on the field and maybe test out the protocols on home and away games, you know, I think there's a decent chance that there won't be any preseason games.
The Professor John Clayton joins us on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, also writes for the Washington Post. And, John, I'm sure a big topic has been Washington's nickname. Will they change that nickname before the NFL season begins?
Yes. I don't think they have any choice, because look at the things that are going against Dan Snyder right now. First off, he's trying to get a new stadium in D.C. Well, they've already said, you bring the Redskin name over, no stadium. Then you've got Nike, you've got Pepsi, you know, they want to pull their sponsorships, FedEx is not happy, you got the minority owners now, you know, wanting out, not in, and they want the name change. He has no choice but to change the name. And so I don't know if he's going to change it to the Warriors, if he's going to turn it into the Presidents. You know, there's other names that are out there, but they've got to change that name.
John Clayton talking football with us. John, when we look at the Bears, the Packers, and the Vikings in the NFC North, which team do you think is the strongest team heading into the season?
I'd say probably the Packers, because certainly you look on defense and see what happened, because, again, you know, they kind of ran out of some cap room in Minnesota, so they had to let four defensive starters go, and they traded Stephon Diggs. So they're not going to be as strong as they were. I still worry a little bit about the Packers' run defense and the fact that they didn't do anything on the wide receiving core, which was much needed. So I think what you're looking at is they've dropped down a little bit, and at least now the Bears can be in a little bit more range for those two teams. You know, because, again, you know, what you're looking at is the Bears have a good defense. You know, a lot of questions at quarterback and on the offense. I don't know if they've done enough at the running back position. But I say right now, you know, Green Bay has a little bit of the edge over the Vikings.
John, any momentum for Colin Kaepernick joining a quarterback room around the NFL here?
Yeah, momentum, yes, but I don't know if something's going to get done. But there's more momentum now than there's been any other time. You know, you have people calling around and considering him. And, of course, right now nothing's going to happen until you get the ability to have guys come in for visits and workouts. And so, and he'll win the workout. There's no doubt about that. But you need to have him sit down. And you also have to figure out what you're going to pay him. Because, I mean, you notice if he's going to be asking for a lot of money, there's no chance that he's going to be able to get a job. That has to be determined. I mean, again, you saw Cam Newton taking the NFL minimum base salary and some incentives to be able to come in and play. You saw Jameis Winston, you know, take pretty close to the minimum. I don't know if Colin Kaepernick considers it such that he would do the same thing. If he would, I think he's back. If not, then it's going to be tough.
Help us set the correct expectations for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading into this season. Last year, 7-9, but we know Tom Brady signed with the Bucs in the offseason. Their defense, pretty good. They have Gronk now added to the mix. What should we expect from Tampa Bay this year?
I think a wild card season, maybe 9 or 10 wins. I don't think they're as good as the New Orleans Saints, because I think the Saints are the most talented team in the NFC. And so, you know, that's a 11-12 win team. But I think that the addition of Brady gets them over the top and gets them a winning record and puts them in the wild card hunt. The only difference that Brady's going to experience, he now comes into an NFC that has 12 quarterbacks making $21 million a year or more, and the only one who didn't go to a Pro Bowl was Jimmy Garoppolo, who's making $27.5 million and end up being in the Super Bowl last year. So he's going to be facing tougher quarterbacks than he's faced at any time recently in the AFC.
John, with no OTAs, with who knows what kind of camp we're going to see, with possibly no preseason games, is it advantage to teams not making major scheme and personnel changes on a certain side of the ball that we're going to see them excel versus the teams that have added players that are trying to find a running game or a semblance of an offense? Strong hint here, what's going on
no
in Chicago.
No question. It's like the more you're together, the better you can survive in this season like this. We saw that in 2011. I mean, so I know that, you know, Cam Newton came in as a rookie, and he had a great rookie season. They didn't have a great season as a team, but San Francisco came together with John Harbaugh, or Jim Harbaugh as the coach, and that all worked out. But overall, yeah, the less change, the better it's going to be. And so that's why the Bills have a great chance to do well, because, you know, they've added some things, but they didn't have a quarterback change. They have the same coaching staff. The five teams with new coaching staffs are going to have a tough time getting off to a good start. But, no, the teams that have been together the most have the best chances.
Each year we see a team that's at the bottom of the barrel jump up and grab a playoff spot, you know, someone that hits the bottom of the pool and then rises. Is there a team that finished maybe last in their division, completely out of it, that you expect a big jump in this season?
I really don't. I think it's going to be tough because, again, most of the teams that are down toward the bottom have young quarterbacks that may either haven't worked out yet or struggling. Like, for example, I mean, Carolina, you know, they got Teddy Bridgewater, but they have so many changes on defense. You know, that's not going to work out. Washington, you know, that's not a very good team. Giants aren't a very good team. So I think that this is the one year where it's going to be hard. I mean, you know, the Chargers, I think, even though that's a team I think can make a jump because, again, you know, they were bad last year, but I think they can go. Maybe the Charger would be the only team I would endorse that could make some kind of a jump.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Professor.
You. That's John Clayton from 710 ESPN in Seattle. He also writes for the Washington Post. Follow him on Twitter, John Clayton NFL. Whew, you'd hear him every week here on ESPN 1000 for years. The best.
Then
I loved
then
it.
Then he'd finish his hit and go, Mom!
That commercial is so fantastic.
It's one of my favorite SportsCenter commercials of all time.
That's how you hang out at home, right? You
exactly.
Just wait for Mom to bring the meatloaf, right? That's what he's asking for, right?
Exactly.
I think the Arizona Cardinals would be the team, the worst team that could make the jump this season.
In that division?
Well, Pat, the NFC West, I think you can make the argument all four teams could at the very least be in wild card consideration.
Oh, I agree with that.
Their offense was outstanding. I like Kyler Murray. I like what Cliff Kingsbury is doing there offensively.
I like Cliff's pad.
Yeah, I mean, the lair, like he's a supervillain in a James Bond movie. I mean, why not? Looks like, what's his name? Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
I almost forgot his name. There it is.
They were going pace. I was like, looks like Ryan.
Ryan Gosling. Come on. I think it could be the Cardinals. I like Clayton's answer, though. The Chargers, right? Philip Rivers wasn't great last year. Tyrod Taylor, if he plays well, they could possibly be the team that jumps up. All right, coming up next, I have yet to get Pat's opinion on the breaking news that we had about our show yesterday. A certain David Kaplan and his road trip across America. Pat gives his opinion on the road trip that won't happen. Next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Think you missed some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Black Pat Boyle sitting in for David Kaplan today on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's really appropriate music. Drive me crazy for our next topic.
Oh, yeah. Do share. Go ahead. By all means.
No. You start.
I mean, listen, Pat and Chris sitting in for Cap today because he's on his road trip, right? Cappy across America. Driving around, taking photos, documenting what he has to see. I mean, technically, he wasn't going to leave until this upcoming weekend. He was in California. He's there for 10-plus days. At the end of it, he's going to drive back from California. Well, not so fast, my friends. As Danny and I yesterday, before the show, like 5 minutes before the show starts, we get a text from Cap saying that because of the quarantine that's now been put in place by Mayor Lightfoot, that Cap actually is not going to be taking his road trip with Mindy back across the country, seeing the sights and everything. He's just going to fly back and then quarantine.
And his quote was, for the what's 14 the point?
Well, let me
it's to see
you.
America and to experience something you've never experienced in your life.
So great.
Well, here's the deal. Let's pull back the curtain. So I have not been in.
You want me to read the
yeah,
text?
Go ahead, read the text.
Quarantine has changed our trip home. Not driving back. What's the point?
What's the point? Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So I've not been in this studio since March 23rd when I did the show with Cap.
Yeah.
And I've still been a P1 listening to the show. And from time to time, I may text you and Danny Zetterman on a little private text chain. We may or may not be discussing show topics or something that Cap said.
I always show topics.
But
come on.
When Cap brought this to the table, right away I had reservations. Because I still do things with TV with Cap on NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah.
And so the night before, and you were actually doing his Sports Talk Live show, he was like, look, I'm out on California. I'm all about finding a house in Wisconsin. So, like, the next day I hear you guys doing the whole, he's taking a road trip.
Sure.
I go, Danny, you actually might want to check with him on that. He, last night, he's all in on a Wisconsin house, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, sure. Right? I mean, like.
Yo, so, we did a whole day. We had production. We made a montage. We had callers giving Cap tips.
He was asking me on the phone, have you taken a road trip, Pat? I'm like, yes, I have, actually. Yeah. And so, like, total Cap, he goes all in on something, right? And he's like, where we're going to go? We're going to hike here. We're going to take pictures there. We're going to eat this. And Danny, you were giving him, like, ideas of I was all of Guy Fieri's stops along
Route 66, Guy Fieri's book, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on Route 66.
So he flip-flopped about 10 times in a 72-hour period, and then he fully committed, and I think he said there is absolutely no chance I will fly home. When you guys finally said,
right.
You know, you're driving back, and he's like, no, absolutely, we are doing it, it's booked, it's ready to go, and then sure enough, you get the text the other day.
Well,
that honestly, that was very, very predictable.
I said it on the show. I said it to Cap's face. So I'm not speaking out of pocket here that, like, this is something I would not have said to Cap because it was on the show. I said it to him. He is very difficult to suggest. It's very difficult to suggest that he would stick to one plan over the course of 10 plus days.
Oh.
So that's where I didn't think it was going to take place. Because he's in California for a long time. And I just expected what would take place over the course of this week. And I know he joined the show yesterday. He talked to us and everything. I expected what would happen is by the time we get to the end of this week, he would say, I'm having such a great time here in California poolside. Mindy, why don't we just stay the extra 2 days and fly home and just quarantine anyway? Because we're having such a great time here. Like, I did not think he would actually follow through with the road trip. Because, one, I think it's a lot of work. Like, it's a lot of mental heavy lifting to, like, plan it, to stick to it, to grind through the hours on the road. And to be honest, to me, it doesn't quite sound like a great vacation. It's a challenge, you know, driving back across the country. Now, if he would have left here to go there as the trip, like many of the callers called in and suggested that he should drive to California.
Right.
I think that's very doable. But I think when you're already on the vacation and you have this hanging over your head for 10 plus days, I just felt like there would be a change of heart when he's sitting out there in the sun baking away, you know, poolside, that he would say, you know, this is great. I don't need to go grind through Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, Nebraska. I don't need to do that. I'll just fly back. That's what I thought would happen from the start.
Look, this is the same guy, and Danny, you can back this up. Pretty much every trip that Cap goes on, we all know about it like months ahead of time, and he starts talking about it. And then the days leading up to it, he is on, you know, AccuWeather or whatever weather app, checking out what any drop of precipitation might be. And how many times has Tracy Butler been consulted and he changed his vacation plans at the last minute, Zetterman?
Yes, he was supposed to go, I think it was last year at this time, he was supposed to go to Mexico.
Yep.
Tracy Butler came in for her normal Friday hit at 10:50, and she said, bad news, buddy, where you're going in Mexico, you're going to see some rain. That, during the show, before noon, he changed his trip and they went to Aruba.
It's Pat's right. It's amazing to watch in person because you're right. It's locked in months in advance.
Yeah.
But the 48 hours before the actual trip, anything's game. Like,
right.
Like he may go to a different part of the country. He may go to a different country overall. He may not go.
It's like, amazing he did the rim-to-rim thing last year and didn't
right.
be like, you know what? Climbing K2, everybody. No, not rim-to-rim. Gonna go skydiving in Montana. I mean, by the way, have you heard what he's doing on this trip?
No.
He could have done it here in Chicago.
He's basically chilling.
Well, we heard him. Yesterday when he came on with us, we heard him taking a stroll.
He was talking to random people on the street.
Like, he knows everybody. You know? There's a guy working on a bunker here on number 7.
Hey, Cap, who is that? Oh, it's a guy riding a tractor.
So he's working still. He's been working from Palm Springs.
Doing the TV show.
So he's doing some work. Mindy's lovely wife, she's been doing work as well on Zoom calls most of the day. He gets his walk in Del Boca Vista Phase 4. And then he goes to Whole Foods and gets his dinner. And then he retweets everybody's tweets all day. And then he does his little TV show, and then that's the day. And now he's got a quarantine when he comes home for 2 weeks, which is absolutely going to drive him.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
Bat, you know what? Crazy. He could have just stayed here and done the Whole Foods thing and the walk around the neighborhood.
The only difference is he's just not doing the radio show. He could have done the same thing in beautiful Deerfield, where he lives, or wherever, whatever suburb he lives in.
You got an exact address on that?
I will tweet it out at the break.
You know what's funny is maybe he played all of us, because technically he gets a double vacation now.
Well, he's going to work from home.
But he's working from California. Now he's just going to go home.
But he had to take vacation days for radio.
No, I know, but like now he's going to come back and not have vacation days, but just sit at home.
I look at this as a vacation for you and Zetterman.
I am inside high-fiving myself. I mean, this is great.
It's just a little less Cappy time. Like, you'll still have to deal with him over the phone and all that, and texting and while he does the show.
Well, we're going to get more calls and more texts now.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. Like, now, I'm going into the boss's office and demanding comp days for the next 2 weeks, the amount of cap time I'm actually going to have.
Can you set up Twitch in his house so we can actually see that he's in his house and he's not, you know, because we all know he's not a homebody.
Like, oh,
case
no.
in point, he's taking a trip and sitting in another home.
Well, I've gotten the tweets, people suggesting, did Cap even leave?
Yeah, he did. I've seen the video evidence.
All right.
He has left. He has left the building.
No, you're right. We're going to have to keep an eye on him. We're going to have to put a bell on him to make sure he doesn't leave the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, quarantine for 14 days. Cap can't leave the house. Do you expect him to actually do that?
Well, he'll definitely, I mean, I think he'll be allowed to walk around his neighbor. He'll definitely do that, and he'll go bother Sylvie.
Well, we can't. Sylvie,
poor,
you can't
poor
bother.
Poor Silverman's. You got to set up a, you know, one of those.
You can't be around Sylvie if you're quarantined.
You got to put an invisible fence up there and put a bracelet on Cap. Keep him away for a couple days.
I will say, Cap alone in his house for 14 days, it is straight out of the Twilight Zone, right? Like, he is the worst possible candidate to be sitting alone in his house with his own thoughts, with no people being able to interact with, no Whole Foods butchers being able to give him tips on the side.
9 to noon, he'll be interacting with you.
See, if I was an armchair shrink, I would tell you the best thing for Cap would be to be home alone with his thoughts for 2 weeks. That's exactly what he needs.
But he doesn't want that, Danny.
No, of course not, because
he's afraid of someone getting into his head. You've heard him get angry at you before when you've suggested to see a psychologist, and he says he doesn't want anyone in there. I don't need anyone in my head.
I'm great. Everything's great. Perfect.
I don't know about you guys. I'm not looking forward to a vacation without him. I want him to come back here in the studio.
Yeah. And like, you made a great point yesterday, Zetterman. He's not going to be able to show off his George Hamilton tan.
And that's going to kill him. Because
he's been lathering up that bald head all week long.
He has not put on a shirt except to go into Whole Foods in a week. Like, let's be honest. Nobody likes a tan more than Cap. And the only reason he really likes a tan is because he likes people to say to him, Cap, boy, you got a nice tan. Would you go somewhere? Where'd you get the tan, buddy? What'd you do?
Coming up next, will baseball start on time? Will we have an opening day in Major League Baseball? We'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Yesterday, we get the schedules in Major League Baseball release. The Cubs and the White Sox. Both teams will open at home. The Cubs and many of the teams in the Central Division for both the NL and the AL, travel issues won't be that big of a problem. You know, you saw the graphic on MLB Network last night. The teams in the middle of the country, in the Midwest, less travel than those in the West or in the East, based on having to go north to south and all that. So the Cubs actually pretty good. The White Sox pretty good set up for the schedule. And I think, Pat, when we look at the end of the season, having the Cubs and the White Sox play a 3-game set to end the year, that's pretty exciting and something that I'm looking forward to in this baseball season.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that we're going to be able to start it and get it done. The other thing that I you talk about both the Sox and Cubs perspective is they're not playing right now in any hotspot cities, which would be something of a concern, you know, that some of the other teams, the Atlanta Braves, the Tampa Bay Rays, and some of these other in Texas, what Houston is going through, and the Rangers and Arizona as well. So, you know, things seem to be set up for a comfortable 60-game journey for both the Sox and the Cubs. Now, look, they're on the road. Cubs play 17 days straight to open the season, and I believe the Sox' biggest stretch is later in the season when they play their 17 games. They still have that Field of Dreams game, the Sox taking on the Cards in Iowa on August 13th. Are you good with that being the Cardinals and not, like, Cubs-Sox? And that might – I just felt like Cubs-Sox is so personal.
Mm-hmm.
It may dwarf what the actual intent is of the game, and I of playing that Field Dreams game.
Yeah, and
might overshadow it.
I'm with you on that. I think also those games need to be played in our city,
right?
You know, like I get that fans won't be there, but having the Sox and the Cubs at each other's ballparks, I think is novel. I like that. I want to see that. So I'm glad they didn't waste one of those games on the game in Iowa at the Field of Dreams. That's okay. Use the Cardinals. That's okay. I think it's fine. I think it's because are fans going to be able to go to that? Probably not, right?
So I don't know.
I kind of wonder why even do it at all, you know, because the whole point is to get people to go, to be a part of it, have it be something different and cool.
Yeah, but I think, well, only, 8,000 were going to go to begin with?
Sure.
I think from an aesthetic standpoint, it's going to look good on television, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to have a feel unlike any other game you watch. So I think they can make it enjoyable for fans via TV, and it doesn't need to be the 7,000 people that are there that are taking it to the next level.
It would just be the logistics is just an additional place you have to travel to and get set up. Two teams have to travel there. Like, the one thing is, most of these situations, it's all one team traveling to someone else's home ballpark, right? A team. And in the Cubs and the White Sox situation, the same with the Yankees and the Mets, they don't have to travel to a different city for a couple of these series, which is also ideal. And the Cubs going to Milwaukee as well, that's a bus trip, a little different. They're flying to a different city and all sorts of different things. So when you kind of put it all together, there seems to be some pessimism about the season actually starting on time.
Guys, speaking of that, interesting breaking news here. The Cubs have announced that they are going to push their practice back. It was supposed to be now. They're going to practice it, push it back to this afternoon because they are waiting for their COVID-19 test results.
Are you serious?
Yes.
So it's not positive. It's not negative. It's just we are waiting for the test results to come back.
Correct. David Ross announced that they're going to push it back to the workout till the afternoon because they are waiting for their COVID test.
And those are tests they took this morning?
I believe so, yes.
Okay.
It could be tests they took yesterday as well.
It could be before the 4th. They could have taken these tests Friday.
This is the problem I have. I mean, when you were haggling over the amount of games that you were going to play and how much you were going to pay the players and so on and so forth, at the very crux of the issue, you had to figure out COVID-19 testing and how you were going to get results and make it safe. How can it be botched this poorly in week 1? When there is no travel, when they're only dealing with, you know, that team, not even another team coming to that city. And it seems like a lot that one lab in Utah could handle, you know, 30 teams spread out across the country. You would have thought maybe in big metropolitan cities like Chicago, they might have said, okay, Cubs and Sox, they're going to hit this lab here in suburban Chicago or what have you, and try to regionalize some of this as well. I mean, it just is another case of baseball doing it down their leg and just making another misstep.
I'm trying to get this straight. So have they taken the test? Do they not have enough tests, or they're waiting for the results to come
back? All of the above, Chris.
Well, okay,
Bryant yesterday said he was tested twice over an 8-day period.
Okay, right.
And he was still waiting the results, I believe, of the latest test, which was Sunday.
This is what's not making sense in my head. There's a lab in Utah running this.
Right.
Why in the H is Major League Baseball making teams from multiple states away get tested and then send it to the lab? Is that how they're conducting this? And then they have to wait for results to come back?
I believe so.
I mean, Chris Bryant could go to Walgreens in Lincoln Park and get tested.
They're taking special tests. I can't remember which player I saw, but a player tweeted out how they take their tests, and it's like for 2 straight minutes they have to spit in a little tube.
Yeah, Steve Cishek told us about that last week when he was on the show with Jesse, and that's the White Sox, but I imagine it's the same test across the board for Major League Baseball.
Yes, that's the MLB test.
But like, you can go here in the city of Chicago, you can go to a Walgreens and get your results back within a couple hours, because I think it's interesting. They said they pushed it back to this afternoon, which means that they think they're going to get their results back to have this workout.
Yes, I think originally MLB did a smart thing. I don't think they wanted to put the burden on each individual city, and you know, cause somebody in a lab to determine whether the test is positive or negative, and taking away from citizens in that city who were in dire need of of results right away. And so I think deep down they had the best intentions of mind to find their own and to not be taking tests away from hot spots, you know, like you're down in Florida and Texas and Arizona where they need every test they can get for those that are showing symptoms and not quote unquote using them every other day on baseball players. I think that was the intention to find a centralized location, but they got to be able to pull it off. And if this is all about the almighty dollar and saving some of what the owners have already lost, they should have put a better plan in place than this.
Absolutely. And you nailed it on the head. They had all summer to figure it out. You know, but
this is like the, you know, before you get to the 90th thing on the list of what you can and cannot do in the hotel and all that, the first thing was testing. Like, okay, that should have been the...
Danny, go ahead.
So here's some clarity. The Cubs are pushing back today's workout because they're waiting for test results from Sunday's tests. Then they will also be tested once again today.
So then they'll push back tomorrow's workout to wait for those results to come back. Like, what are they doing here? I mean, this is ridiculous. 312-332-3776. Once again, baseball seems to fumble something where it seems as if they could have had the resources in place to get this done, to get the season up and running. The more this continues to get botched, I'm starting to see what Danny was saying yesterday, what we're all talking about, that there might be serious pessimism about this season actually starting on time if they can't even get the testing right for the first couple of days of team workouts.
And then you looked at what Nick Markakis said yesterday, and could you see the concern on his face when he talked about Freddie Freeman and the conversation they had? He's like, look, Freddie did not sound good. So you've got some fear already, and then, you know, you try to put it aside and put your livelihood at the forefront, not forgetting your health and your family. And then the very situation that you set up with Major League Baseball to be tested every other day, not only, I mean, it's not even happening. It's not even coming close to being done the way that they put it down on the original CBA agreement or whatever they, not CBA agreement, but return to play agreement.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We'll take your calls coming up next.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour of Cap and Company is brought to you by the Home Loan Experts. If you're like most folks, you probably spent a lot of time in your home over the last couple of months. Maybe you're thinking it's time for a change. TheHomeLoanExperts.com.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
Tonight at 6, check out The Baseball Show, Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, Sox, and Major League Baseball, hosted by Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 6, the podcast will be available on our app daily as well. Chris Bleck, Pat Boyle, sitting in for David Kaplan today here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We're talking about the Cubs pushing back their workout today because they are awaiting their COVID-19 test results from the other day, still trying to figure out whether or not they can get the testing done to keep Major League Baseball moving forward. We go to Jason Wilmette. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jason?
Yeah, so this is the thing that does not make any sense about MLB's testing protocol. So they test people on Sunday. They let them practice for a day and a half or 2 days in between the next test while they don't know what's going on until they test them again. And so you're going to have sick people potentially around the team not knowing that they're sick while they're practicing until the next test comes back. It makes no sense.
I don't disagree with that.
Great point. Thank you, Jason, for the phone call. Pat, if the whole point is you test and then you quarantine until you find out that you cannot infect other people, thus testing them to then send them out on the diamond to go through these workouts negates the point of the testing in the first place. Like, yeah, you would like to know the information, but if it's not taking place in a timely fashion, what good is it?
So, and explain something to me when these teams start traveling. Let's say the White Sox have to go to Kansas City. they're going to be arriving at, you know, whatever, 2 in the morning after playing in Detroit or wherever they were last. They're going to go to the ballpark the next day. They're going to be tested. They're not going to get the results if it continues the way they're doing this until they've played 2 of the 3 games of the series at least, right? So like the caller said, what is the point of the test if you don't have the results immediately?
They had enough time to prepare for this. What were they doing? Like, were the owners just trying to freeze out the players all summer to hope that we just didn't have a baseball season?
That's the conspiracy theory out there. And when I see a plan like this that is failing epically, I do begin to wonder if indeed that's the owner's end result. They want it all along is just to not play.
Because if you wanted baseball to take place, if you wanted any sport take place.
I mean, that's a damning comment to say that, because you are putting your employees and the game at risk.
You absolutely are.
To make a, you know.
How do you not get this right, though? You see what I'm saying? Like, how do you not look at what we are dealing with as a country, as a world, with this pandemic, and say, okay, the first thing we need to do, yeah, we can figure out the money between the player's side and the owner's side and all that, but we kind of need to figure out the testing first. So if we say yes and things are a go, we can make sure everyone's healthy. It seems as if, from my perspective, it seems as if the NBA took the approach, we need to solve the medical side of this first, and then we can figure out whether or not we can actually have a season. And it seems like they put into place the protocol that needed to take place, and then they started to move forward to trying to plan how they could do this.
The difference is, though, Black, the NBA, those players received 85% of their pay. See, like, with all these negotiations, the problem was all they were worried about was the dollars and cents, and they put worrying about the health ramifications second, because the owners and the players, they just wanted to get paid. With the NBA, LeBron got 85% of his salary.
Same in the NHL, Danny. You know, so they were negotiating from the same spot. Like, they had most of their salary in their pocket, and they were trying to do something for the good of the game.
Yeah, so they're saying, hey, if we play, make it as safe as possible for us, because, listen, the money's in the bank, we're earning interest on it. Whereas baseball players are like, dude, we got to get paid. And owners are like, boy, we're losing, quote-unquote, biblical amounts.
That's fair for the vacuum of this one season, though. But an NBA player looks at it and says, if we decide not to play because we already got 85% of our paychecks for this season, the cap next year is going to go down. And thus, free agent money in the future will not be there. So technically, you won't be getting paid what you theoretically should be getting paid in the future. So, like, yeah, I get it. Baseball players didn't, like, it's a terrible situation all along. And Pat, let me ask you a couple of questions about the NHL. Like, as we head, like, I'm watching the news. I'm seeing skates on ice. I'm seeing teams practicing, gearing up. Can they pull this off? Or is it going to be the same issue that Major League Baseball is facing?
I think they have a much better chance of pulling it off. And to piggyback on what Danny was saying, I think the NHL and the NHL's Players Association took a really smart approach during this pause. Because the NHL players received most of their salary this year, the postseason to them did not mean as much financially. It meant more to the owners. I heard a figure, and I think Emily Kaplan said it, the NHL, if they didn't resume play, was going to lose $2 billion. If they resume play and play the Stanley Cup playoffs, they're going to lose $1 billion. So $1 billion is at stake for ownership, which is obviously a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So they were incentivized to get a deal done and get the players back on the ice. The players used this platform to work on a new CBA. And yesterday, they got a new CBA, a 4-year extension, and they got some things in it that they wanted. They wanted to be back in the Olympics, even though that halts the NHL season, because they want to do what the Dream Team did for the NBA, that they realize it's a different stage if you want to grow this sport. So they got that. So they got a CBA done. I love the two hub cities they picked. I love the fact that, I mean, I would have loved economically what it would have brought to Chicago and certain companies that would have dealt directly with the 12 teams that would have been put here in Chicago. But that being said, if we're talking about safety, there's no safer place than Edmonton. I saw a report over the weekend that there were no, in Toronto, no ICU COVID-19 patients. for the first time since March. So I think they picked two really solid hub cities. They're trying to make each of those locations somewhat like a bubble. The players are only allowed to be in their hotel. They're not allowed to go in each other's rooms. They're tested constantly. They are allowed to go to the restaurants in that hotel, work out there, and there are organized excursions, a.k.a. They will be taken to a golf course by the NHL, and it'll be a secure situation outside the bubble. So they're trying to do that. So next week, Monday, July 13th, training camp will start for the Blackhawks. They're already working out in smaller groups right now. July 26th, they will travel to Edmonton. The 12 teams in the Western Conference that are part of the resumption of play, they will play, starting August 1st, a best-of-five series against the Edmonton Oilers, who obviously it happens to be their home rink. So, you know, that's the only, I would say, thing that is going against the Blackhawks. Otherwise, the hockey gods have smiled upon them quite a bit here in recent weeks.
Coming up, I want to ask you, what are the odds the Hawks can win that series? We will crosstalk with Yurko and Adam Abdallah in 2 minutes.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.